It's 2017, and I'm hiding out in my garage office in suburban Houston. I don't mean a pretty garage turned office from the TV show Fixer Upper. I'm referring to a garage office where my desk is my second husband's dusty work table, and the light is a bare bulb hanging from a corner in the ceiling somewhere above my head. An old Folgers coffee can has found a new purpose as my pencil holder, and my view is of my black Jeep and a colorful multitude of dried-up spray paint cans lining the shelves like soldiers. My giant hulk of a dog, Max, sits under my feet, regarding me solemnly as he idly gnaws on his favorite tattered blue frisbee. He, too, is lost in thought, likely wondering how much longer he has to wait until playtime, while I'm thinking about the last few years and how it came to be that I'm here, hiding out in my dusty garage with a meditative dog for a companion. I'm reflecting on all the bad decisions piled up high like the boxes and baskets on the shelves surrounding me. I can say that I possess no self-hatred or condemnation. I'm neither angry nor bitter. I don't need to go to therapy to work on self-esteem issues. I have come to accept who I am, a sinner saved by nothing else other than the grace of God, the forgiven, imperfect and flawed, but loved. I still have a lot of metaphorical boxes and bags I need to sift through, from before my friend Victor turned my life upside down. But all in all, I like this person. I know things could have turned out much, much worse. My reflection is interrupted by the sudden slam of the back porch door. I sigh. I've been found. I shake my head ruefully, knowing the locked door serves no purpose other than to pretend I can spend some uninterrupted time alone in my own world. Privacy these days is a rare commodity I treasure. I set my coffee cup gently down on the desk and listen. Footsteps crunching through the leaves that have blown across the porch, a shuffle of feet, a light tapping on the doorframe, then a firm knob rattle. "You in there?" a deep bass voice calls loudly through the wooden door. I laugh to myself and think, where else in the world would I be? I don't have anywhere else to hide. "I don't know. Who is it?" I call back. "It's Victor," he says with slight consternation in his voice. I could almost see his forehead wrinkle. "Victor? I don't know any Victor." "Are you selling Girl Scout cookies?" I ask. Then I say loudly, "I don't want any. I don't have any money. Go away and leave me alone. I don't even like cookies." This is our private joke. Silence. Then a loud laugh and more knob rattling. "You so crazy. You love cookies. What you doing in there with the door locked?" Max jumps up and runs to the door, whining to be let outside. I slide off my wobbly bar stool, walk the short distance, and turn the knob. Victor jumps out of the way as Max runs out looking for his ball. I lean against the door jamb, blocking his path. "What brings you to my office this evening, Mr. Hubbard?" I needle him. I consider it my duty as his self-appointed big sister, even though in reality I'm not so big next to this hulking 6'3" frame. But here he is, in all his glory, this sweet, dark-skinned child in a man's body.
"I just want to get some snacks out of the refrigerator," he says.
"I'm sorry, Mr. Hubbard, we don't have any snacks here at Sprouse Enterprises, and we're just swamped here in our corporate office."
"What you mean, office? This is a garage. You so goofy sometimes."
He shakes his head at my seeming confusion and proceeds to brush past me to the rusty fridge for his favorite V8 juice. The fridge has become his official domain.